You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by the fastest growing social media app for hunters and fishermen, and the name of that app is Go Wild. You can find out more about Go Wild by visiting their website, timetogowild.com, or you can go to Google Play Store or wherever you download your apps and just search Go Wild. It's a kick-ass app designed specifically for outdoor enthusiasts, so give it a try.
This is the Sawn Outdoors Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Zach with Sawn Outdoors, welcoming you to another Sawn Outdoors podcast, episode number 28. McCade and I had an opportunity to recap our 2018 hunting goals and also talk about some of our future 2019 hunting goals. It's a really fun podcast that we had to reminisce and talk about how we've improved as outdoorsmen and areas where we've learned where we can still progress. So hopefully you guys enjoy this podcast. As always, this podcast is concealed in King's Camo. King's Camo has been a great product for not only Sawn Outdoors, but me personally. And I love, absolutely love their gear, especially their XKG line. I personally love their transition vest. And this year I noticed immediately the effectiveness that it had for me while I was hunting. I'm always cold when I'm hunting on ridge tops and I'm glassing in the early morning and late evening. And that XKG transition vest really allowed me to not shiver, stay warm, be able to look through my binoculars without having to guess what the heck I was looking at because I was cold. So once again, guys, King's Camo is a great product for us. We'd love for you guys to kind of look into them and see what they have to offer. If you do visit them on kingscamo.com, you can use our SAHN promo code. That's S-A-H-N. And you will be able to save yourself 15%. And that's also included on all clearance items. So that's a wonderful opportunity for you guys to save a little bit of cash and put it back in your pockets. Once again, kingscamo.com. Go ahead and take a look and see what they have to offer. I'm starting. Okay, I'm starting, everybody.
Well, we're just sitting here in the physical therapy clinic.
I just finished up with work. It's kind of a neutral site for me and McCade.
Met up here.
We're just kind of running.
We actually, we laid out on the floor because there's some space here. We laid out a 10 by 10 space for our booth that's going to be at the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo in February.
Which is exciting. First time we've ever done that.
Yeah, super excited. We've been there, been a part of some other booths, hit some podcasts really hard last year, but
now this time we won't be begging for power. Hey, do you mind if we bum some power off of your booth so
renting
we can do a podcast?
Some space.
Yeah. So this year we'll have our own.
So if you're going to be in the Salt Lake City area or you're anywhere close, you should definitely come check out the expo. It's February 14th through the 17th.
Correct. Yeah.
At the Salt Palace Convention Center, downtown Salt Lake. Look us up. I already forgot our booth number. It's like 3542 or something like
3540,
that.
3540. I don't know. Something like that.
Look us up on the huntexpo.com.
And then if you follow us on social media, we'll definitely be doing some follow-ups with that, with the actual number, kind of a preview of what our booth's going to look like.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So also, if you're interesting and you want to sit down with us and record a podcast at the expo, hit us up, DM us.
We'll have a questionnaire for you to fill out before we decide if you're interesting. Just kidding.
No. So as 2018 is kind of winding down, Zach and I have... We talk about it every time we go out and do something, but we kind of wanted to sit down and recap our 2018 hunting seasons. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of this year, we sat down together and we talked about our fitness goals and how we were going to prepare physically for the hunts. And as we've been sitting here tonight discussing this podcast, we kind of talked about some other aspects of preparation that maybe we weren't...
We were lacking.
Yeah, we were lacking on a little bit.
Overlooked.
Overlooked a little bit, yes, definitely. So I guess that's where we'll start off with the fitness. Zach, what were some of your goals As best you can remember. I mean, it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
I know you wanted to lose weight.
Right. So last year around this time, I definitely went into the holiday season full bore. I mean, I think my holiday season started as soon as the hunts were over because I put on weight and I put up weight on quick. But granted, last hunting season too, I always do this. I always start off the season or the new year like everybody else. Resolutions are set. You're motivated. You're going. And the month of July is my downfall. And it kind of was my downfall this year, but not as bad. But it's like once summer barbecues start, all of a sudden there's the soda. Just sounds so good when you're, you know, finish eating a hamburger or whatnot. But
well, what do I say every time we're on top of a mountain somewhere?
Yeah, you suck.
Physically exerting ourselves.
Oh, nice cold Mountain Dew sure sounds good right now. It's like, McCage, shut up. A, trying to be disciplined. And B, you are right. That sounds ridiculously good.
Yeah.
And we did that a couple of times when we got off the mountain, whether it was packing water up. We'd always go down. That one time with Jeff, we got some Mountain Dew and some pizza.
We killed that pizza.
Yeah. That was...
And maybe that's where we need to focus in this year and be a little more diligent, hold each other accountable. That's my big thing is like I need to have some sort of competition. Mm-hmm. There needs to be something like on the line to keep me motivated, and then I need people around me to hold me accountable.
Right. And Mountain Ops does a good thing with their 90-day fitness challenge.
They do. I've been thinking about jumping on that and really buckling down.
Right.
Because I've been trying recently, but I kind of got sick a couple weeks ago and it's like, all bets are off. Soda, candy.
My motivation right now here in the physical therapy clinic, we've got people bringing in homemade fudge. People bringing in homemade cookies. People bringing in those box of chocolates. I mean, we've got so much stuff being brought in that I'm just like, I'm going to just demolish it. I don't just, you know, dabble. For whatever reason, I have no self-control during this time of year. So last year, when we did set goals, I weighed 193, 194 pounds.
Which is crazy. Yeah. What's your height?
My height is like 5'8 and 3/4". So those of you who've never met me or don't know me, when I graduated high school, I was 140 pounds soaking wet. Like I was a high school quarterback and I'd get demolished whenever I got hit, or at least my lightweight would make it look like I got demolished because I was so light. I could not put a pound on to save my life. I was eating two Uncrustable peanut butter and jelly sandwiches between every single class and drinking a Muscle Blast protein shake between every class. And I got up to 160 one summer, but then 2-a-day started for high school football and like that, dropped down to 140 again. But, you know, then I got a little older, went on my mission. So then I was about 150. That was a happy moment in my life. I was like, I weigh 150 pounds. This is awesome. I'm 21 years old. But now, geez, 194, that was easily the heaviest I ever was. And so I was like, I need to ditch weight. And I think I talked about the effects of what a 1 pound does to your knees.
Yeah, you did. And that's when we also talked about like using walking sticks and hiking sticks.
Yeah, to kind of help out the knees. So anyways, I did. I reached my goal of losing. I wanted to get down to 170 was my baseline goal. And I dropped all the way down to 159 at one point. But I kind of stayed at 165, 167.
When did you drop to your lowest point? Was that during the hunts or kind of still
early season? Early season. That first. So we set those goals and I came out of there. Gates on fire.
He went crazy. I mean, he was running to the gym, throwing up outside the gym before he went in to work out.
Yeah, it was.
You were all
it was
over.
Nuts. Doing some CrossFit body weight wads, and so I was doing, you know, just simple things. But yeah, that first month, I lost 20 pounds.
Wow,
just in 1 month. But that was just completely cutting out soda. Holidays were over. I could actually, you know, and I'm good at eating the same thing over and over. I don't get sick of it. So if I wanted to do a paleo week, throw in a crock pot, you know, do whatever, I could eat that all the time. But yeah, so I got in shape quick. But I think for me, and it was evident during the hunting season, I did a little too much of upper body and not enough lower body stuff. I was doing air squats, cool. Mm-hmm. I was running, cool. I was trail running, awesome. I was doing a lot of hiking, that's cool. I got my mountain legs. However, when it came down to packing out animals, and I packed out 3 mule deer this year, man, I'm still paying the price. My left hip is killing me and rolled my ankle. I don't think I would have been able to prevent that. But anyways, yeah, for me, that was one of my big areas. Awesome. I got my weight under control, but I think I didn't strengthen as I needed to in order to last a full 3 months of hunting season.
So what would you do differently? You were running a lot. You were lifting upper body. What would you do different?
I think I would do a little bit more, you know, lunges, do a little bit more of squats, you know, not heavy, maybe 185 at the top end. And just try to, you know, not go past 90 or anything, but
talk a little bit about that. Zach's a physical therapist. And so you understand some of the ergonomics and like how your body works and some of the downfalls to, I guess, going hard at the gym. Like,
right. And it's funny because I can just walk around the gym and just be like, I'll be seeing you in a few months. I'll be seeing you in a few months. You're going to be hurting. So is this person. And it is. It's really easy to, everybody has good intentions, right? But people know that I work in physical therapy, and I'll get people who come and try to critique me on different things. And, you know, everybody's got their own little things. But, you know, 90 degrees is your power position, whether you're benching or whether you're squatting or anything like that, if you think back to sports and things like that. But the way that the kinesiology of your body works and the way the bones are laid out, especially with squats, if you go lower than 90, you're just putting a lot of stress directly onto your meniscus. And for those of you who don't know what your meniscus are, those are basically the padding between your femur and your tibia. So if you don't have any meniscus, you're going to get a knee replacement. That's what drives people to get knee replacements, is it's just bone on bone. So if you go really low on squats with a lot of weight, you're just using the head of that femur to just really push down on that meniscus and kind of wear it down if you're just doing it a lot.
So you're going to last a while, but eventually you're going to wear it out.
You know, there's a great documentary right now on Netflix on Ronnie Coleman, Mr. Universe or whatever, however many times.
Yeah.
The guy can't walk. Like, he is struggling to walk because his back is so jacked up and just his joints. So, you know, anyways, there's a smart way to lift and there's a dumb way to lift. But obviously, if you want to lift for size, you're probably going to do lower reps, high weight. But I think in the hunting world, and in the future, we're going to do a podcast with my boss.
Yes, I've been begging for a while.
We need to do it. But, you know, he always says, no, it's more about lighter weight, more repetitions, better, especially for endurance.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, the times you're packing heavy, unless you're doing like a deep backcountry pack where you're packing in food and water to stay, you know, for a week, times you're really packing heavy is when you're successful, when you harvest an animal and you're packing out. I mean, yeah, I agree. You need to be ready, but like when are you really going to have that much weight for that extended period of time?
Well, think of if you're squatting 185 pounds, when do you have 185 pounds on your back? Do you ever have 185 pounds on your back? An elk quarter, a rear quarter, 150 pounds?
Yeah, on a big one.
On a really big one. So to me, it's all about being functional.
Right.
And it's just, is this weight going to be functional or is it just, you know, and I'm not saying limit yourself. If you want to go more, you can, but I would just be careful.
Right. And that's where in the future when we do finally record that podcast, I really want to buckle down on some of the like ergonomics and what you're talking about. Don't go past 90 on your squats. It's not necessary. You're only hurting yourself. Whereas if you just stop at 90 and come back up, that's where you're doing the most benefit. And I want to talk about ways to prevent injuries and things like that. But,
and there's super simple ways, and Bobby's really good at pinpointing those ways and simple exercises you can do with just TheraBand that,
oh man,
you know, you're like, man, this is not going to do me anything, but then you're burning. But it, I mean, you know, it just helps strengthen a lot of supportive muscles.
Monster walk.
Yep. McCade knows about the monster walk.
When I had my knees replaced, well, I didn't replace, but I had my knee surgeries. I was in here in the clinic and like they'd have me do this thing, wrap the elastic band around like my ankles and I'd spread my legs out to be about shoulder width, squat down. And then I like walk. And it was like the most intense.
Your hips and your butt.
Yeah. Crazy. I've never had anything like that with weight.
And everybody wants to think, well, I have an ankle injury. I need to strengthen my ankle. Or I have a knee injury. I need to strengthen my knee. But it's always the joint above and below. If you can strengthen those, It's going to take stress off the actual problem area. Hmm. So that's why, yeah, with the monster walker from McCade and his knees, it's focusing on the hips and the glutes because those are your huge stabilizing things. A lot of people overlook it. Yeah. Obviously, in the world of physical therapy, you know different things and know how to attack it just right. Everybody thinks, I got to go out and do this huge thing. No. No, you can do some pretty humbling rolling a stool back and forth.
That's burn another the hamstrings, one that gets
you. You know.
Stool so, rules.
It'll be a good podcast yeah. with Bobby.
So definitely stay tuned and follow us. Be on the lookout for that. We're going to try to hopefully get that done early part of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So you felt like you were not prepared for the pack outs necessarily, but on all of your scouting trips and things, I mean, when I hiked with you, you did really well. Like you were cruising up the mountain.
I always do better going up and then going down. My knees are jacked. I don't have any ACLs or anything, so they're a little unstable going down. My quads tire out fast, so they're twitching.
Now, I don't think this directly relates to your preparation physically, but maybe it was an oversight somewhat on your nutrition. Do you remember when we went up and set cameras?
Oh, freak.
And, I mean, there's so many things to keep in mind here. Like, you need to be prepared physically. You need to be prepared mentally. You need to be prepared with your actual...
Nutritionally.
And, I mean, and actually shooting your gun or your bow or, you know, like the actual art of harvesting an animal, how you're going to do that. But I remember we were sitting there. It was super hot.
Way hot. And this was when you found that fire.
Yep. We had just exhausted ourselves trying to put out this fire.
I ran down a ridge about a mile probably.
But we made it back to our little camp, our humble camp, and we sent our friend Jeff off to go check his cameras. And we're sitting there.
Yeah, just sitting.
And then all of a sudden you start cramping up.
Yeah, all I did was I was just sitting there laying on my back with my head on my backpack. And all I did was try to slide my heel up and just rest with my knee up. And, dude, I've only cramped in my toes and my calves. Never cramped anywhere else. And man, the inside of my thigh from my crotch all the way down to my knee was just in a knot. And instantly, it was scary because I was like, how am I going to go up this mountain? There's a fire that's going on just down the ridge.
Yeah, we didn't know what was going to happen with that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the wind like started picking up and blowing towards our camp.
Right. And so I was like, how am I going to outrun a fire if my leg is this cramped up? So that was an eye-opener for me. Yeah. I was like, obviously, I'm not getting enough sodium or whatever it is. So, but you had some
potassium like
goop.
Yeah. It's a goo.
Goo.
Yeah. Goo. They make all kinds of different things for, endurance athletes. And I had some rehydration tablets that are supposed to replace your like electrolytes and stuff. And thankfully I had them in my pack. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't pack those unless I'm going like on a week long backpack trip or something.
Yeah.
But I had them, we threw them in some water for you. And then, it seemed to go away.
It helped me. And then one time it got, you know, it just took a while for it to get into my system. And then I didn't have a problem.
And we had you chugging water, which was a scarcity.
Well, and that was a learning experience because here I was, you know, trying to be healthy. And I'd want to stay away from sugars and that. Well, guess who packed 2 packages of Gatorade things each day? You know, I separated it. I said, okay, at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to drink a Gatorade, you know, pour it in my water bottle. Drink that. Then at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to drink another one just because that was scary.
So you did that on your hunts after?
On my hunts, okay. Yep. After that. Anytime I went hiking, I was taking 2.
And did you have any issues on your hunts with cramps?
No. One time I cramped in my calf and my toes, but it was because I was cold and damp. My feet were
so
sweaty in the sleeping
on?
Bag, you know. It was just one time. But it wasn't nothing like in an unusual place like my inside of my thighs, because I was immobile.
Yeah.
I couldn't move. So that was wake up call for me. And so yeah, preparation. Yeah. It's cool to lose weight and to do things like that, but man, there's a right way and a bad way. And I think I was just, you know,
and your body needs sugar.
Yeah.
Like you're burning all that energy up on the hill. And like, if you don't have some sugars to replace or salt,
yeah,
people overlook salt sometimes too,
But overall, as far as my preparation went, my biggest goal into losing weight was I hated the feeling. It was last year's hunting season, 2017. And I remember getting to a point and seeing a fairly decent deer about 3 canyons over, but it was a jaunt. And it was just like, I saw him and I was like, oh, there's a big buck. And then as like I pulled my eye away from the spotting scope and saw the landscape, it was instantly like, well, he's living. I'm not going over there. You know, and it was just because my mind knew that my body was not physically ready for it. Mm-hmm. And obviously your mind never wants to do anything painful. So it's always going to try to tell you not to. But this year, because of the preparation I had, you know, the opening day of the rifle season, me and Mark Pratt, you know, we spotted some bucks a long ways away. And we had a drop off this steep, steep side into the bottom of a canyon and up another side.
And this is at like 10,000 feet.
Yeah.
In some jagged desert country.
Yeah, it was steep, but I didn't even think twice about it. You know, Mark was kind of like, dude, this is steep. And I was like, dude, I didn't come here to look at a deer. I came here to hunt one. So let's go. And we were surrounded by hunters on the ridge. And we were the only ones that dropped off and went down. And so that was kind of neat. You know, everybody was just kind of sitting up there. They knew the deer were there, but they were like, I ain't going after it. But we got into position. You know, there were some, you know, steep washouts that we had to cross and some different things like that. But it was like my mental fortitude, because I was lighter. I was probably 165 pounds at this point. I was just like, nope, I'm going.
And do you think that came because, like, your mental fortitude came because of every time you were running and puking, and you're going to the gym, you're doing hard things? Do you think that was kind of a direct correlation? You were like, oh, I know I can do that physical challenge. Like,
yeah, I think so easily, because your brain needs to be trained.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
true. And I think trail running, I got me a pair of trail running shoes halfway through the summer. And so I'd always just run up dirt roads on, you know, steep things and roads cut out into the mountains or whatever. And I was just like, man, so when I saw it, like, I knew. And we had spotted these specific deer the night before, and we were just trying to figure out the safest way to get to them. And that night I went to bed not knowing. I was like, it's really going to, like, I was frustrated. I was sad. I was pissed. All these emotions at once, because I was like, I've waited this whole year, and there's these deer over there that are some of the biggest deer I've ever seen, you know, in this hunting unit. And I'm not going to be able to go after them because I don't know how to get to them. And so we woke up early that morning, walked around the original plan, and that was stupid. And I'm glad we didn't, because actually 4 days ago I looked on Google Earth and I was like, we would have got ledged up on probably a 30-foot cliff.
Dang.
And so we decided to back out. It's dark, 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
We decided to hike around, and that was just a punch to the gut again, because I was like, man, my only plan. So we get to the lookout spot. We're seeing people all over the ridges. And then all of a sudden I spot a buck, and I'm like, oh, and then there's 8 or 9 more bucks with them. And I was like, here we go. So we head off, me and Mark drop off the top and, you know, dropped in and hiked up to them. And then I screwed up the other part of preparation for hunting. I screwed up and wasn't able to harvest my buck. Mark was able to harvest his, and I've had to live with that now for this whole hunting season.
So what preparations are you talking about?
Well, number one, I was borrowing a friend's gun. And when I talked to him at first, he said, yeah, 0 to 300. I talked to him the day before the hunt, and he's like, yeah, 0 to 500. And so I was like, what? And I had gone and shot targets like 270. And I kept pulling to the left, like just barely missing the milk jugs is what I was shooting at. And finally I hit it. And so to me, it was dead on, vertical up and down, but it was just me pulling off, and that was basically on a straight line. Well, where we were hunting, we were in the bottom of this huge basin, and these bucks were 356 yards away, but it was so steep, I was laying flat on my back and shooting off my knee.
Straight up.
And I didn't have an angle compensator on my rangefinder, so what am I getting for Christmas, hopefully? Rangefinder with angle compensation.
Nice.
And, you know, because that feeling was horrible. So I need to do more shooting and less worrying about other stupid stuff. It's not all stupid. This is all a huge learning experience, but
there's so many little pieces to the puzzle. Mental, mm-hmm. physical, nutritional, marksmanship. I mean, there's so many little pieces. And time. You have to fit things in. So it's like, mm-hmm. I feel like each year you kind of learn like one thing that you really need to focus on. Like last year, I feel like you conquered your physical thing. Well, yeah. Maybe this year you've already got the physical down. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Then start, you know, putting in time on behind the bow, behind the rifle, and practicing.
That's definitely the plan. Yeah. So
I'm right there with you, man. Like, I'm not an expert marksman by any means. I thought I was going out into Idaho fully confident, shooting 700 yards if I wanted, you know. Had a turret on my scope and everything. Heat of the moment, holy cow.
Yeah.
Forgot my rangefinder. Mm-hmm. So now I'm guessing, which is mistake numero uno.
Yeah.
And I missed one of the biggest bucks in my life.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, I threw 9 shots at this one particular buck. 9 of them. And I had it on video. It's all on video. I haven't showed a lot of people. A, because it's embarrassing. And B, some of the language that I was saying was like, oh, I better not say it. But it was just one of those things where, like I was telling McCade before we started, I've never shot more than one bullet at an animal before. It's all been one shot kill until this year. So when I missed on the first one, and it was against a snowy backdrop, so it just swallows the bullet. I don't know where I'm hitting.
That's so frustrating.
And they just sat there, and I'm like, okay, I got another shot. I got to get more sturdy. And I took my time, felt just solid confident. My breathing was good. I was on them. Boom. But like I said, straight up and down. It says 356. I don't know how far it really was. And so
that's a good point, man. Like, I feel like, for the most part, we practice these very slight angles, up or down. But none of us, I'm willing to bet 95% of hunters do not practice some steep up shots or steep downhill shots with their guns. I mean, it's a big thing at Total Archery Challenge to be shooting pretty steep up and pretty steep down. Off, they have that infamous cliff shot at the bird. But it's something I've never really thought about.
Yeah,
I've never thought, when am I going to be in the position where I'm going to be laying on my back, using my knee as a rest, to shooting straight up?
Yeah, that was total.
So there's one for the list for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Practice that kind
even,
of shot.
Even if I would have had an angle compensation telling me, it's actually shooting more like 375.
But that position.
Yeah, that position was uncomfortable. So uncomfortable.
What could you have done different?
Looking back on it, I would have sacrificed the ability to video this shot, because, you know, I'm thinking, oh, man, for Sawn Outdoors, we needed some video, and it'll be an awesome kill shot. But because of that, which isn't a bad thing, I would have taken my tripod, I would have tilted my scope all the way down, and then I could have rested my
gun. Did you have your backpack?
I did have my backpack, but it was so steep. I pulled out my jacket, I pulled out my hoodie, and I pulled out my rain jacket, and I stacked it on top. I have one of those outdoorsman's packs, or it's got the V-notch in the frame to rest, but I couldn't get myself.
Still, the angle.
Yeah, I couldn't get it steep enough.
That's crazy.
So what I had to do, what I was doing was, I had my foot on top of my pack just so my knee could raise the barrel of the gun even up steeper.
That's crazy. I think you unplugged this there.
No.
That's okay. We're still going.
I did unplug you. But, yeah, so it was sickening. It was, you know, it was hard. Like, it was also a learning experience for me ethically, because Mark had harvested his buck, and I was pissed because
here it comes.
I was just like, freak, he shot his, I missed mine. And then he goes back to get his stuff, and I had already put my gun back in the scabbard on my pack. And I look over, that buck I was shooting at is 100 yards away from me, now level with me. And I'm like, oh, shiz. So I'm like trying to get it, you know, get my gun back out. Another learning experience. I had shot 9 rounds already. I only had 4 more bullets, because in my mind before the hunt, well, I'm going to sacrifice ounces. I'm not going to need more than 13 bullets. Well, we went around. He saw me, so we started going back, and I had 4 more shots at him. Boom! Nothing. And he would, like, stop and just, like, come on, dude, shoot me. Because I did hit him. He was wounded, but not bad, because I followed the blood trail for, like, an hour or so after, and just small little droplets of blood, and it finally stopped in the snow. Like, I don't know where he went. And anyways, he ended up being harvested, though, by another hunter, because I got a picture, which isn't, that makes just, you know, it's like, here, the knife's already in you. I'm just going to stick it even deeper. Yeah, so, but anyways, but hey, I've learned a lot.
At least they harvested the buck that you couldn't find
and
hit.
But as far as being able to get myself into position and be relatively able to control my breathing, because I was in shape and I had done that, I was there because of my work I had put in. So now I got to do the same amount of work, but also add a little bit more in some other areas, and
yep,
I'll be good. You know.
So what are your goals for 2019?
Well, I think stay around the same. You know, since the hunts are over, I think I'm back up to like 176, 175 weight-wise. So I've got to lose about 10 pounds, and a lot better shape now than I was, you know, last year. I don't have to lose as much, about 20 pounds lighter to begin with. But, man, I've got to, spend more time with the bow, spend more time behind a rifle. And I got to gain my confidence back, because I've got, in baseball, you always hear the term, and I guess it floats into other sports as well, but, you know, when somebody has the yips, it's like they're overthinking too much. When a pitcher has the yips, they can't throw a strike to save their life, you know, and that's how I kind of feel behind the gun right now. So I'm like, what? I hope, you know, because the next weekend, or during that, the middle of the week, shot three more times and another buck, missed it. You know, and so I don't know.
That's okay.
I was able to harvest a buck with the same gun, same everything, but it was, I put a heck of a stock on, got within about 75 yards, raised up, boom, didn't miss that time, but anything over that was not just a chip shot.
That's okay though. I think like you're at a good point to like build yourself up
and
start laying some foundation, some building blocks.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we talked about right now out here where we're at, right? They have a 3D archery winter league.
Yeah.
And from what I hear, anytime I go into the Salt Lake area, everyone's like, man, are you doing that 3D league out there in Tooele? No. What? It's the best one in the state.
That's
so
what I hear.
We're missing out.
They're going to have a big shoot on like the 19th and 20th of January.
Oh, really? Out here.
Yeah. So we need to start shooting, man.
Mm-hmm.
We have a month.
A month.
Yeah. So. It's always so hard for me, especially when it's cold. And it's not like we live in the city where we're pretty close to like a archery shop or something. There's quite a bit of traveling, and I travel all day for work. So.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. All this is excuses, really. How bad do I want it? So.
Well, and it's tough. Like another part for this year was, you know, for being married, I don't have any kids yet, but just being married and trying to find time to go do things without sacrificing time that's necessary for a healthy marriage. Dude, that was tough, you know.
Balance.
You know, I get obsessed with, oh, I got to go shoot my bow. And then my wife's like, hey, I'm here still. Like, are you gonna do stuff? Oh, yeah. Dang it. Like, I'm struggling in there. Like, it's like, cool, I'm a better bow hunter, but not as good of a husband right now, or, you know, I need to find that balance. And Kip Fowler the other day, he's got six kids. And I'm like, how is this guy? What? And granted, my wife understands. She lets me do a lot, but there's definitely a fine line. And I'm like, he's either got a secret, or his wife's like, eh, go do what you want, honey. I've got the kids, which I doubt is the case, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, man. Now, I've only been married for a little over 4 years, so I've got a lot of learning left to do, obviously. But anyways, there's that aspect to it, too. I mean, you could put so much time into anything, but it's almost like too much time into one thing is a bad thing, almost, if that makes sense.
Moderation in all things.
Yeah.
Right?
So, but, yeah. But I'm excited. This year's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit more prepared going into the year with not as many unknowns. Like last year, it was like, well, I've never really shot a bow that much. Well, I've really never got after that hard in the gym before. Well, I've never scouted that hard. Now I have. Now I know what to expect. Now I know how to tweak everything.
Except for this year, you don't know what to expect as far as tags go.
Yeah, as far as tags go. Yeah.
Zach has a lot of elk points in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to persuade him to hunt a certain area.
Yeah, you have. And I don't know still. I got to make up my mind. It's about a month and a half away.
Well, we could do some winter scouting.
Yeah, could do that. So, I just hate elk. I hate elk.
I love elk.
They show up on trail cameras, but that doesn't do you any good because you hunt them when you want to, man. They're freaking 10 miles away. Or, I don't know. Deer, for the most part, at least around here, stay pretty, you know, within a canyon or two of where you set your camps.
Right.
Unless they're really pressured by hunters. But
we still have 4 cameras out on the mountain yeah. that are going to stay there until next spring. They're probably all dead, and that's okay. You're tempted to hike up there and grab them?
Yeah, I was tempted to, but
I need to get a four-wheeler. I sold the Razor.
It's but that's tough to get up there. Even with a four-wheeler, yeah, that's what I was saying. It's just a long hike. Any hiking in the snow sucks. You're doing 3 times the exertion.
So I feel like, thinking back on my 2018 hunts, I felt pretty good. The biggest thing I struggled with was hunting solo. And finding the motivation to dig deep and go hard solo. I do so much better when I have somebody around, even just to talk to and set a plan with. They don't even have to go with me. But if they're out in the woods with me and they go do their own plan and I go do mine, right. I drive so much better. But I struggled with that in Idaho and a little bit in Wyoming. That was hunting a totally new area, mm-hmm. Wyoming. But when we ended up in Colorado for the 3rd season, I got with Jeff, and dude, we hit it hard. Like, we were hiking all over the place, driving to different areas, checking out. We were glassing all day long. Mm-hmm. We found bucks everywhere we went. Granted, it was a little different scene over there. Buck to doe ratio was really high, and it was winter, you know, rut time.
Yeah,
but as far as my physical preparation, I feel like I did pretty good. I was running, which I hate to do in the gym. But I too feel like I struggled with, and it's always been one of my weaknesses, but my legs, conditioning my legs and actually lifting with my legs. The knees, still to this day, they're my weak point mm-hmm. with lifting. But every week, every time I go to the gym, my Wednesdays are my leg day. And I'm making sure I'm doing squats. I started doing some air squats, like some squat jumps, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Incorporating Davy Goggins, nickels and dimes, 5 pull-ups, 10 push-ups, and I started doing 15 jump squats right after. And you just do boom, 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 boom. Take a break.
Oh, God.
Three rounds.
It's giving me anxiety.
And man, I've noticed a huge difference. My knees, they hurt when I do it, but like I noticed walking up the stairs from the basement yesterday, like my knees didn't hurt and crack as much as they normally do when I walk upstairs. I'm like,
yeah,
there might be something to this. Like, it really sucks in the gym, but I'm feeling pretty good outside. So that's my goal, is to continue with that. I need to buckle down on the diet and stuff. Soda becomes one of my weaknesses. I do pretty good for a little bit, and then someone offers me a cold
even energy drinks, man, freak. Even these zero calorie, whatever energy drinks. I will never forget. I can't remember where I saw it. I think it was during school, but there was an illustration of the effects of somebody's calling the clinic. But the effects of what energy drinks do to the bones, and as far as how strong bones are. I just remember, I don't know what imaging it was, but it just kind of showed, and it just looked like, you know, a healthy bone without energy drinks was just really solid, you know, and intertwined. It looked like with a bunch of spider webs just really tightly packed in there. And then the other one where it was, you know, energy drink drinker, and it was just kind of really sporadic. And I just remember thinking, holy crap. But
yeah, I know. Certain times of the year, too. Like, mm-hmm. But I was really hooked on a certain energy drink here for a little while. And I haven't had one in like 3 weeks.
Nice.
So I'm trying really hard. I'm trying to eat more healthy, eat more protein rich diet. I just want to get my energy from natural sources. I don't want to be supplementing my energy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Well, when you're hunting, you're pretty much on your own. I mean, you can bring some, you know, mountain ops, you know, whatever you use, but I don't know. But dude, seriously, thinking about on it just hit me was when it comes to strengthening legs, I think back to how I thought last year, I just need to try to get it on the mountain as much as I can.
Exactly.
And because I think that's, and that's what hurt me was side healing. There's nothing you can do in the gym, I don't think, that can prepare you for side healing with a heavy pack.
Nope.
And
rolling rocks.
And so, I don't know.
So what we need to do, because I need a motivator, is, I'd love to even go snowshoeing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Do some snowshoeing, keep the legs conditioned, but as soon as springtime hits, we've talked about it. We want to get a little bit more serious about some elk shed hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And elk live in some nasty places. And so when we go do these shed trips, it's not about going light. We need to be packing 30 pounds on our back.
Yeah.
20, even 20 pounds, you know, in your pack is going to, it's going to help.
It's going to make a difference.
So I think that's one of my goals. I'd also like to, I got that scabbard on my back. So I kind of want to like throw a gun in there, you know, in case we see a coyote or something, just be a little more prepared that way.
Yeah.
And that'd add some weight.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some, you just have to be creative and just do it. I mean, if you're, I figure if you're getting out and you're doing a mile or two hike on a mountain or even just somewhere steep, whatever, outside, do that once a week. You're going to be, you know, it's not going to be a shock to your system every time you do it. So,
and I always get the most fit, like, that first week of hunting. Like, I can go into these areas and run cameras all summer, check them every month, whatever. And I feel like I get better at it, but it's like, then I go hunting there for 2 days, and I'm actually, like, hiking around with a heavy pack and exerting myself more than just to the camera spot and back. It's like, yep, I'm good for the rest of the season.
Yeah. No, it's definitely true. That term, getting your mountain legs, isn't a lie. So,
And the best way, like you said, it's on the mountain
mm-hmm.
with the pack to simulate what you're actually going to encounter during your
hunt. And I think what you do at the gym and, when you incorporate a proper diet and that, it just allows your mountain legs to come sooner, obviously.
Yeah, it's true.
Because if you don't get a chance to get out to the mountain or whatever, or if you're at back east and you're planning an out west hunt, don't worry, you know, just do what you can because you'll get it. I mean, it's a heck of a lot better to start now with a proper diet, but once you get out here, there's probably going to be some growing pains as far as doing that. But
I think the biggest key, no matter what, like do all the leg presses you want, do all the squats you want, do all the mountain climbers you want, do all the stair steppers you want. But unless you're getting your heart rate up for 30 minutes or more, I don't think you're really doing yourself justice.
Yeah.
When I'm hiking, like with a pack up some of the spots we hike to hunt, I mean, it's straight up.
Even along ridge tops sucks.
Yeah.
And you're still at 10,000 feet.
It's hard to train for the elevation. I know they have masks and stuff, but man, just getting that cardio exercise, getting the accelerated heart rate for 30 minutes, I think that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be one of my 2019 goals.
Yeah.
Keeping the heart rate up, working on my legs, obviously focus on my diet and hiking. I want to hike. Sometimes it's not feasible just with work and stuff, but once every other week.
Mm-hmm.
Go for a hike of some sort. Yeah. And I might bump that up to once a week because summertime comes, the days are longer, after work is more of a possibility, even if it's a mile hike after work.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. It doesn't, man, even if it's a mile hike, but it's steep, still get it.
Sorry, I just thought about this. You still have a camera up in the elk spot where your mom had a tag. We've got some work to do this year.
Well, been trying to get up to the cabin to just have an excuse to go get it, but haven't gone up there.
Oh, God, man.
I wonder what's on that thing.
That camera has been out. It's probably dead.
First of all, easily, yeah.
But that camera's been out for 2 years now.
Yeah, set them up in like July 2017.
It's a year and a half, but yeah. Still, two seasons.
Well, let's just go hop on the snowmobile and probably snowmobile on that trail back there.
We should just hook up with Matt Galland and have him fly us in his helicopter.
Hmm.
Then we'll ski to him.
I like that. Yeah.
So if anybody has a hookup for Matt Galland, please let us know. That guy's incredible. But yeah, I think as a hunter, you got to set some goals. You got to have some stuff that's motivating you and getting you ready, and find some specific things to work on. The mental thing is probably the hardest thing to overcome. But I think by doing some of these other things, by working on some foundations and fundamentals of shooting your bow, shooting your rifle,
that helps you mentally. It gives you confidence.
I think in your exercise, following an exercise plan, setting goals with that and achieving them, sticking to them, and same with your nutrition. If you can set goals and stick to it and achieve your goals, that does a huge thing for your mental.
Mm-hmm.
Setting something that's a little bit, seems almost a little bit out of reach. If you're setting easy goals, like I want to eat chicken for dinner every week. That's what kind of goal is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but setting a goal of, all right, I can only bench 100 pounds. I want to bench 200 pounds by next month. Like that's a pretty crazy goal.
It is a crazy goal.
But, you know, you got to start somewhere. You got to have something that's a little bit out of reach.
Yeah.
And then work your tail off to get it. This is a little off subject, but kind of not. I've been listening to David Goggins' new book, Can't Hurt Me.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. If you need some motivation, you're not going to find it on this podcast.
When you hear like how out of shape he was and how he just decided he wanted to run an ultra marathon or whatever it was, that first race he talks about, I don't know if that book talks about it or not.
Oh, yeah. That's where I'm at right now.
Good. I think he had to do it in 24 hours.
Yep.
And he did it in like 18.
Yep. And he actually ran an extra mile because he wasn't sure if he had lost count or not.
Right.
Yeah. People, you hear it all the time, especially from the Navy SEALs, about the 40% principle. And that is that average human being only taps into 40% of their mental capacity.
Mm-hmm.
You can do so much more. And it's all about training your mind, like you said earlier in the podcast. And I know I'm super insufficient and whatnot, but I really want to strive to achieve some truly great things personally this year. So
yeah,
it's on my. I need to sit down the next couple of weeks and actually
write them down.
Having the mirror of accountability.
Yeah,
accountability mirror. He talks about that. That's pretty cool. Sweet. So if you haven't listened to that, there's a little plug. You don't need my plug for that, but you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to hit?
No, I feel like, you know, we recapped everything and I think going forward, I think we have a good foundation of, okay, did good here, didn't do so well here. This is what we're going to do to fix it. And hopefully you guys are doing the same thing. Hopefully you guys are kind of reviewing, not just from a hunting standpoint, but from a lifestyle standpoint even. You know, what are some areas that you want to work on or get more efficient in and go from there. And like we said earlier, we'd love to meet some of you guys, you know, face-to-face. So if you're out here in February for that Western Hunting and Conservation Expo, please stop by. Hit us up on social media. Ask us what our booth number is, whatever it is.
We'll make some posts. If you haven't had the opportunity to go to a show like this, you're totally missing out. It is incredible, all the vendors alone. And the mounts alone is worth going to
My
see.
My favorite part, you know, the mounts, the taxidermy work, the big bucks and bulls that were killed, and you know, that you've seen all over social media. You know, a lot of them are there. It's a good thing to see. We'll have your bull there and your buck from this year.
Yep.
So
we'll see what all we can get in the booth. We do have a pretty small space, but We're going to try to have my archery bull from 2016 and my Colorado buck from this year. Huge thanks to Big Stuff Taxidermy for that one. They're pulling out some strings to get that done for me on a pedestal that I made. So
yeah, that's super cool.
Pretty excited.
That's super cool.
We're going to try to have Zach's buck there from the Henry Mountains. And if you've seen our shirts on social media, we're going to have those there, some hats, some swag. So be on the lookout. Outdoors. Find us on social media and be looking for future posts. And we'll keep you updated on future podcasts of that booth number. So,
yeah. So thanks, you guys. Thanks for listening to us. We're excited. And stick with us.
Yeah, appreciate everything.